Switchcraft is brought to you live three times a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 p.m. U.S. Eastern and on Saturday at whatever time I can get to it. Tune in live over at twitch.tv/runjumpstomp. This episode of Switchcraft is brought to you by Paco V. Support Switchcraft and my other content for as little as a dollar over at patreon.com/runjumpstomp. Well, it's come and gone. I had predicted that we would have a Nintendo Direct by the 18th of January. There were a lot of people out there that were predicting whether or not we would have a Nintendo Direct. Some people pretending like they had inside knowledge that we would. This doesn't mean that we won't. There's still time left in January, but I'm just giving a mea culpa here, saying I got it wrong. I looked at what they'd done in the past, and I said, well, probably about halfway through the month we'll get one. And we ended up not getting one. So with that out of the way, let's talk about a bunch of stuff. Starting with Yo-Kai Watch 4. There's a preview of Yo-Kai Watch 4, the Japanese version. This is running on the Nintendo Switch, and it looks really good. I have never played a Yo-Kai Watch game. I know that my son has. He really liked both of them. Well, both of them. He really liked both of the ones that he played. He's a big fan of those games. And, you know, I had talked about this on the show before, the fact that Yo-Kai Watch 4 was coming to the Nintendo Switch. And I was not personally excited for it, but the combat that I saw, I don't know if combat is like this in the other Yo-Kai Watch games, but the combat that I saw in the Yo-Kai Watch 4 preview was very, very cool. Like, there were monsters in the middle of the screen, and the character was running around them, like real time kind of thing. It looked very, very interesting. He had, like, there was a boss that had like three eyes or something, and the character was attacking one of the eyes, and it didn't seem like, when I had watched my son play, he's sitting there with his DS and he had his stylus out, and he's like spamming his stylus up and down, trying to get like some wheel to spin or something. And it didn't really make much sense to me. It didn't look interesting to me. But when I watched this, the combat looked interesting. Brobbed in chat says the Yo-Kai Watch RPGs on the DS used a lot of touchscreen. Yes, that's what I saw my son doing. A lot of this touchscreen stuff. And it looks like Yo-Kai Watch 4 is going to eschew that. I don't know if I pronounced that word right, because I think I've only ever seen it written. I've never actually read it. Heard somebody say it, but they're going to leave that behind and focus more on traditional controls, it seems like. At least it didn't seem like they were playing touchscreen style games on the Nintendo Switch. You could see down in the lower left corner, they had like the split D-pad that the Nintendo Switch has, with like little buttons that told you what each button did. And I really liked the way that the characters could move around and avoid attacks in real time. I thought that was really cool. It remains to be seen whether or not people who are fans of the original Yo-Kai Watch games, like, I don't know if the Yo-Kai Watch series is going to be leaving those people behind, because I've not played these games, but it feels like it's a vastly different combat than before. And that might turn some people away, but maybe they're just making a gamble and saying, well, you know, even if it does turn some people away, we might bring more people in with this more active combat that didn't just seem to me, when I watched my son play, it just seemed like, can you spin this thing as fast as you can? Because it just didn't look like compelling combat. The little tiny preview that I saw looked super fun. And Bravd in chat, who has also played the game, he said the turn-based stuff goes away, it will feel very different. Now, one other thing that I suppose I could say about this is, just because I didn't really see much turn-based stuff in the preview, doesn't mean that it's not going to be in the game. So, you know, only time will tell, and, you know, again, it's just the Japanese trailer. We haven't gotten the English trailer yet. I'm looking forward to checking out Yo-Kai Watch 4. I think they usually have demos for these games. They've had demos in the past because my son has downloaded the demos to his 3DS before actually asking for them. So, you know, hopefully when Yo-Kai Watch 4 comes out, we'll get a demo. And if you didn't know, the Switch is region free. So even if it only comes out in Japan, if it does have English translation, you'll be able to get it. But the rest of the Yo-Kai Watch games have come to the West. And I anticipate that that Yo-Kai Watch 4 probably will follow suit. And I'm cautiously optimistic. I really like the change that I've seen, but it might tick off a lot of people who are previously fans of the series. One of my favorite developers, indie developers, for not just the Nintendo Switch, because they have their stuff on other platforms as well, but one of my favorite indie developers is Atui. Basically, it's helmed by Jules Watsom. I've actually interviewed him in the past. Make sure that you check that out on my YouTube channel. But Atui has a bunch of really, really good games that are currently on sale on the Nintendo Switch, and they're on sale for 80% off. So currently, the games that are on sale are Mutant Muds Collection, which is a really good game. It's actually, I think it's three games in one. I don't currently have it installed on my Switch, so I'm going to have to check into that and find out. But I think that it has three different parts to it, the Mutant Muds Collection. It's a really, really fun game. Zeo Drifter, a fantastic Metroidvania game where you have like these four planets that you go to. I've reviewed it. There's a YouTube video where I reviewed it. There's these four planets you go to try and find the parts of your ship that were damaged when I think an asteroid ran into you. It's a really short Metroidvania, and the bosses are kind of repetitive, but the controls are really, really good, and the gameplay is fantastic. And I'm a big fan of Zeo Drifter. Then there's Totes the Goat, which is a game I've not played, but I've heard it compared to Qbert, and that's like, whatever happened to Qbert? Like, we haven't seen a new Qbert game in a billion years, it feels like. I wonder if the company that owns the rights to Qbert even still exists anymore. Maybe they went out of business, but Qbert was really a cool game from my youth. So Totes the Goat is something I have not yet checked out, but I would like to. And then there's Soccer Slammers, which is this 2v2 high speed soccer game. Now, of these games that are on sale, Mutant Muds for $2.99, usually it's $15. Zeo Drifter for $1.99, usually it's $10. Totes the Goat for $99, for usually that's $5. And then Soccer Slammers for $1.99, and usually that's $10. Like, those are all really good deals. I can't recommend Totes the Goat because I haven't played it at all. I don't know anything about it. I've heard very good things about it. Soccer Slammers, I actively dislike. I don't like the game. I feel like it's too fast, and the computer feels very cheaty to me. But the other two games in this sale are definitely games you should check out. Mutant Muds Collection is really, really fun. It's more slow-paced than Zeo Drifter, but Zeo Drifter is the absolute gem of the group here. But honestly, I'm going to be buying Totes the Goat later today because it's a dollar, and why the hell not? So then I'll have all four of these, but Mutant Muds is $2.99. So you can buy all of these for $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $8. So for $8, you can have all of these games. And for $6, you can have all of these games minus Soccer Slammers, which is the one that I really don't like. And I think that it's a good deal. And Atui is a developer that has, they've supported Nintendo quite a bit in the past. I know that they brought out Chicken Wiggle for the 3DS, and they brought it out at the wrong time. A lot of people say that Chicken Wiggle is really, really good, but it came out after the Switch came out or right before the Switch came out, and nobody paid any attention to it, which is too bad. I know that Atui is porting that game to the Nintendo Switch, and I also know that, like, when I talked to Jules, he said that they were also working on Treasure Knots, and they've always supported Nintendo platforms. So I would anticipate that we would see Treasure Knots come to the Nintendo Switch as well when that game does come out. But if you want to support a really good indie developer and get three awesome games and one not-so-great game, then I suggest you spend the $6 and pick up Mutant Muds Collection, Zeo Drifter, and Totes the Goat. I haven't played Totes the Goat, but I've heard great things for $6. And then if you want to really support them, then pick up Soccer Slammers, even though it's kind of thumbs down from me on that one. But I think that this is a good deal, and you should definitely check it out. One of my favorite games on the Nintendo Switch, actually one of my favorite games of all time, not like top five or whatever, but it's definitely in the top 20, I think, would be Diablo 3. I love Diablo 3. I've had so much fun playing that game, both on PC, on PS4, and now on Nintendo Switch. And Nintendo Switch is definitely the place to play it, I think. The game plays great. The Pro Controller is fantastic with it. I don't like playing on the little screen very much, but if you've got if you've got a bunch of people in your friends list, then on the Nintendo Switch, then that's the place that you want to play it. And I've got a bunch of people on my friends list on Nintendo Switch, and I've been playing Diablo 3, and almost, not every time, but quite often when I'm playing, somebody will just randomly join the game and we'll go through and kill some monsters together, and it's really fun. Wow, why am I talking about Diablo 3? Season 16. The season of Grandeur has started. So if you don't know much about seasons, and I'm going to admit I don't know a ton about it. Basically, the way it works is they have in the game these things called seasonal characters. So you make a new character, there's a little green leaf, and that says that it's a seasonal character. Seasonal characters can only play with other seasonal characters. They don't have access to your stash. They don't have access to your crafting stuff. It's like you start the game from scratch, starting all the way over. All of your paragon levels. All of your paragon levels are not counted on this character. You start from scratch, and they have different things that they want you to accomplish. And there's like a little guide. You push the left button on the D-pad, it brings up the guide, and it says, go do these things, go do those things. And at the end, by working through the season, you unlock some cosmetic items, things like, I'm trying to open up this. Holy cow, that's really zoomed in. Can I zoom out? I can't show you guys. It's not working. Okay, so sorry for the audio people. I was trying to show this to you guys, to the video people, but it's looking at the wrong monitor and I can't really fix it. So sorry about that. I'll fix it next time. So you can get things like helms and shoulders that are unique. That way you can later on transmogrify, which basically steal the appearance and make it, put it on whatever gear that you want to wear. You can get like these wings or different things that go around your avatar. I can never remember what they're called. Player frame. So there's like a portrait frame that shows your character, and they'll have like these cool avatar or portrait frames that indicate that you did season 16. So the season journey rewards. There's the Guardian of the Sanctuary. Finish a level 70 Nephilim Rift on Torment level 13 within 5 minutes, and you'll get Guardian of the Sanctuary. Level 3 legendary gems to level 55. You need to complete 2 conquests this season. I don't know what conquests are. Kill Asmodan at level 70 in under 30 seconds on Torment level 13 difficulty. Slay Greed on Torment 13 level difficulty. Reach a Greater Rift level 60 solo. Use Kanai's Cube to augment an ancient legendary item with a 50 plus gem. And use Kanai's Cube to reforge a legendary item. So those are things that they want you to do in order to get these rewards. It's really cool, and it's a way to keep people playing stuff, playing this game, keep going back to it, because I've described Diablo this way before, and some people can't quite grasp why, but Diablo is a game that is extremely repetitive and also really, really fun. Like, they completely nailed the gameplay loop of fight a monster, get some stuff, use that stuff to fight a more powerful monster, get more stuff over and over and over again. And it's really, really fun. And if you have never played seasonal stuff before, and you're like, you've been playing through the story in Diablo 3, and you're like, I don't know if I want to participate in this. It doesn't change anything. You don't have to have finished the story in order to do the seasonal thing. It's not going to spoil. Well, like, some boss fights might get spoiled because you may have to go and fight certain bosses that you might not be at on the story yet. But as much as I love Diablo, I don't really think the story in Diablo 3 is something that you need to worry too much about being spoiled on. Although it has been like 5 years or whenever that game came out originally since I beat it. So I don't remember, like, if there were like weird twists and turns. Oh yes, there were some weird twists and turns. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Seasonal stuff is really fun, and that's basically all I've been doing when I play Diablo is seasonal stuff. So the new season started yesterday on the 18th, and if you haven't checked it out yet, definitely check it out. It's you're in for a good time. And if we're friends on Nintendo Switch, and you see me playing, feel free to join my game and help me kill some stuff, because it's a lot of fun. One of the biggest surprises last year from Nintendo was Nintendo Labo. If you didn't know anything about it, what I'm about to say is going to make you raise your eyebrow and tilt your head and wonder what's in this water bottle here. Nintendo Labo is this really weird way that Nintendo, they have cardboard stuff, and you fold the cardboard in specific ways, and they walk you step by step through the process of folding the cardboard. They ship you pre-perforated cardboard, so it's easy to fold, and you fold the cardboard, and then you take your Joy-Cons and you put the Joy-Cons in the cardboard contraptions that you've made, and then you play games with them. Things like a fishing game, or they have one where you can play a piano, or you can build like a little house, and then you put your Switch in the house with your Joy-Cons looking at different parts inside. And then as you insert or twist different cardboard knobs in the house, different things happen on the screen. It's a really interesting and very weird gimmick that Nintendo had come up with last year. And it didn't sell super well. Mr. Shuntaro Furukawa, the current president of Nintendo, he was talking about Labo, and he said that it has not sold as well as our other hit games have. Nice way for him to say, look, this didn't sell well, but we got a lot of stuff that sells well. You know, that's smart the way he did that. So it hasn't sold as well as our other hit games have, but we did have an increase in sales for Labo during the end of the year. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, at the end of the year, there's a lot of kids that probably got Nintendo Switch consoles for Christmas, and Nintendo Labo is something that I think a lot of parents who, how do I want to phrase this? There's a lot of parents out there that they like, they begrudgingly allow their children to play video games. They're like, well, I don't really like video games, but Junior sure does, so we'll let him do it. And then they see this Nintendo Labo thing and they think, oh, look at that. That's like a physical toy. I like the idea of my kid playing with physical toys, so I'm going to get him that as well. And like, I think it's a really cool idea, don't get me wrong, but we don't have it in my house just because it takes up so much room. Like, I don't want to have all these cardboard contraptions all over the place. But Mr. Furukawa said that there was an uptick at the end of the year, which that really shouldn't surprise anybody, as a lot of Switch were sold as gifts for the holidays. He went on to say, there are many new ways to experience Labo, and we're working on formulating new methods that convey its allure so Labo sales will have longer legs. So when I look at that, or when I hear him say that, the thing that occurs to me is that a lot of people looked at how flat, but they looked at how flat the sales for Nintendo Labo were, and some people were wondering if Nintendo was going to write it off as, well, that was a failed experiment, but that's okay. We tried it. It didn't stick. Let's move on. It looks like it sold enough that Nintendo is thinking that, well, let's keep trying at this, and maybe we'll hit something that does stick. I mean, so far they have, I think, 3 Labo kits. The first one, I don't know which one's first or second, because the two of them came out at the same time. But the first two were a robot kit where you would like put on a backpack and have a visor and like these strings attached to your hands and feet, and then you would stomp around and punch things. And there would be a robot on the screen that would stomp around and punch things just like you, which is really cool. But again, lots of cardboard all over the place. The other one that came out at the same time was the variety pack. That's the one that had the fishing rod, motorcycle handlebars. The motorcycle handlebars were in the third one. So there was the fishing rod, the house thing, there was a piano, and then there was a little robot that you could drive. It was really cool looking. You put a Joy-Con in and they used the vibrations from the Joy-Con to get this little cardboard robot to scuttle across the floor, which is kind of neat. You would drive it using the Nintendo Switch as like a touchscreen controller. Jay Harley in chat is saying, no motorcycle was in the first one. Okay, so the motorcycle was also in the first one. That's right, because then they patched Super Mario or Mario Kart 8 Deluxe to work with the motorcycle thing. Then the third pack that came out was the vehicle kit, which allowed you to fly a plane, I think drive a car, and then there was one other thing. Oh, and then be in a submarine. All through folding cardboard. So it's a really creative idea, and it's certainly something that only Nintendo would do. I don't see Microsoft or Sony coming up with ways to fold cardboard in order to play their games. That's not the kind of thing that they would do. And Nintendo was always up front saying, this is not for the core gamer. This is something that we're trying that's for other people. Nintendo has been trying to expand the video game market for a really long time. Ever since they first brought out the Wii, you know, their mission was to make the video game market bigger because they felt like it had reached a saturation point. And, you know, Labo, it feels like a spiritual successor to that kind of thing, which I don't think is a bad thing. It's not for me, but I don't think it's a bad thing. Not every video game thing has to be for me either, and I'm fine with that. Vaxxer in chat points out the ridiculousness of a submarine made of cardboard, and he's got a pretty good point there. So anyway, we're going to be getting more Labo. Who knows what it's going to be? I just hope that how do I want to say this? I hope that Nintendo only links it to mainline games in small ways that really don't matter, like they did with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I didn't feel compelled to try out Nintendo Labo with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, even a little. So I hope that they continue to do that kind of thing. And, you know, I hope that they also make Labo games that will possibly appeal to me. Because right now, the ones that they already have, they don't really appeal to me, but that doesn't mean that they're not good. So if you, like, have played the Nintendo Labo stuff and you think it's fantastic, feel free to tell me why I'm wrong.
Let's go racing! It's Super Mario Kart Funny Car Madness! Only on Super NES! Turn the track into a giant mud pit! Or burn rubber on ice, wood, or asphalt! Fly up. Mix it up with the big boys!
Well, that's it for today's episode of Nintendo Switchcraft. If you want to check out the music that I played on the show, head on over to runjumpstomp.com/music. Make sure you support those artists, follow them on YouTube, all that stuff. And if you want the full show, come watch live over at twitch.tv/runjumpstomp. Before I head off, though, I just want to let people know that I recently uploaded the latest episode of Run Jump Stomp, which is my video game call-in show. And somebody called in asking about a Nintendo-related question. I thought that those of you who are interested in Nintendo stuff, you might want to go and check it out. So that's in the show notes. You can find that over at anchor.fm/runjumpstomp, or you can just follow the link in the show notes. We talk about how Nintendo kind of abandoned the weird idea of Super Mario Bros. 2 and have never really gone back to it, and why I think that that's too bad. That's a bad thing. But anyway, make sure that you check out Run Jump Stomp. It's a really fun show, and it's your thoughts on gaming. So you guys calling in and letting me know what you think about all kinds of gaming stuff, not just Nintendo, like Xbox, PlayStation, PC, mobile games, wherever video games are being played, that's what we're talking about. So anyway, last thing before I go, you can subscribe over on YouTube at youtube.com/runjumpstomp. And if you're looking to support my content, head on over to runjumpstomp.com/thank you. You'll find lots of links there that help me create content like this. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show and hanging out in chat and just being generally awesome. And don't forget, we've got a Discord server, which you can join over at runjumpstomp.com/discord. Any links that I said today, just go to runjumpstomp.com. You can easily find one of those links there. I'm out of here, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.